News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 on this momentous day, July the 30th, 2014. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. It's Wednesday, and we like Wednesdays here for a variety of reasons. Good morning. Linda is still in the mountains with her with the other seven ladies. And they're whooping it up there on the ranch or whatever the eight women do when they get together for a period of time.
Probably best we don't go.
Gosh,
there.
I don't know if I want to know. Hey, today big show today. Sam Allen of the Stand Up for Reading group and Chief Rob Plotty will be here at the same time to talk about tonight's big meeting at the Sequoia School, and then we're going to be talking with the founder of the program to put a daycare center here in Reading for the homeless, Reverend Ann Curran will be here today, also at 8 o'clock. So it's, you know, kind of a big day. But we've got a lot of things going. So let's start off with Kathy Lathrop Cummings from our friends at Wells Fargo and find out what's going on Wall Street. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, everyone. Markets are mixed this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 25 points at 16,886. The S&P 500 is up 3 at 1975. And the NASDAQ is up 15 at 4458. Active stocks this morning include Twitter up $9.22 at 47.81 and Bank of America up 14 cents at 15.48. Stocks of local interest, Tri-Counties Bank is up 24 cents at 22.64 and Pepsi is down 82 cents at 89.32. Turning to the bond market, we find lowered prices, which has brought the 10-year Treasury yield to 2.52%. In the commodity markets, crude oil is up 52 cents at $101.49. Gold is down $3.90 at $1,296.60. And silver is up 2 cents at $20.61. That's the market for now. This is financial advisor Kathy Lathrop Cummings with the Reading office of Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC.
Hey, thanks a lot, Kathy. We have our Wells Fargo advisors here Monday through Friday giving great advice in the morning here. And, well, they give great advice all the time, but we have them on here at 706-806-906 Monday through Friday. And if you're looking for people that they do this for a living, they want you to make money. They want you to have financial success. And you can start on that road to financial success by giving them a call at 241-7563. Ask for any of them because every one of them is an expert. And after you call them, get an appointment to head on down to Park Marina Drive. Wells Fargo advisors are there to help you. Every one of them we've had on the show, every one of them is an expert. And you can ask them any question when it comes to finance or investments, and they have the answer. And you know what? And if they don't, they just get the rest of the team together. And so you get like teamwork there at Wells Fargo Advisors. Okay, Bad Bob, what's it look like for weather?
Weather looks like it's about 69 degrees right now, and as we check out the forecast, we're looking for sunny and hot today. They've backed off a little bit on the temperature, should be right around the 103-degree mark. Continued hot tomorrow. Temperatures tapering very slowly, about a degree a day through the next several days. Overnight lows will be in the 70s. Right now in Reading, we are seeing 69 degrees. And this report is brought to you not only by Shasta Gas Propane, our customers are warm friends, senior and veterans discounts, and, of course, 365-3793, Shasta Gas Propane. But it is also brought to you by...
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
It's hump day. That's right. Wednesday, it's hump day. And just, you know, I know it makes Bob crazy.
You're such a little kid about this.
I am. You know what? You got to be, you know what? If you lose that kid-like exuberance, then what are you doing? Then you'll end up sitting someplace rocking in a chair and counting the days off, and you're only going to be like 60. You know, that's why, you know, I'm starting to understand why Mike Quinn runs over and looks at the obituaries every day. You look at, oh gosh, you know, what is this that a person died at age 64 from natural causes? There is no such thing as natural causes at age 64.
My late stepfather started commenting he knew more people on that page than he did out in
Well, you know, when you get up there to 100, you know, that's probably around right. And you know what, though? I think on my dual air technology, with Linda's not here. No, so here's the question. Do you change your sleep number setting for the whole bed so you can roll back and forth on it, or you just use half the bed? Now, see, I'm a half a bed kind of guy. You know, what I have it because, you know, the rest of the bed's there. You know, it's
you
there.
You maintain your space.
I maintain my space. I put a little, you know, I put the little barrier pillows all up around, and I keep my sleep number setting right there at 40, working my way up to the 50s like Trish Clark has.
Just you and Elk Killer.
But just me and Elk Killer. And Elk Killer, you know, in fact, you know, when it's hot, you know, we have Elk Killer goes over and lays on the air conditioning vent and lays there. You know, and just loves it. Just, you know, and cuts the air conditioning down in the room because, you know, Elk Killer's laying there on the air conditioning vent. But Sleep Number, with the dual air technology, plus they're offering right now the Sleep IQ technology that goes along with it that literally comes back to you and tracks how you're sleeping, comes back with an app. And it empowers you to make changes like adjusting your sleep number setting or daily routine for best possible sleep. Last night, I went to, you know, I hit the rack at 10 o'clock. And literally slept late this morning. You know, got up like 5:35, but it was a great night's sleep. And where do I get this? I get it from going on my Sleep Number bed, and I have to go down to my Sleep Number store because right now the C2 Queen mattress with the Sleep IQ technology and the dual air technology starts at under $1,000. So you need to head on down there and see Brian and Janice and tell them that Carl and Linda, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, mention any of those. You might get a bunch of nice little things that could happen. And they're located, of course, in the Target Shopping Center. And if you're, and you know what? If you're like down in Chico or heading to Chico, they've got a Sleep Number store down there. So, Sleep Number. All right. Let me talk about a bunch of things that are happening this Saturday. A barbecue to help recent fire victims. It's going to help the food bank in Anderson. And donations for victims of the Clover and Bully fires can be made at any North Valley Bank branch or food banks at the Good News Rescue Mission, the Salvation Army. People of Progress are always in need of donations. But the disaster relief barbecue is from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Walmart in Anderson. And a $10 donation buys a burger, chips, and a drink. And they've organized the event to help establish a food bank, reestablish a food bank that was established by the Disaster Relief Committee to help victims of last year's Clover Fire and this summer's Bully Fire. This is a good way to help. You send down, you know, Walmart has like 18,000 people that cycle through there a day. If every one of them comes down and gets a hamburger, everything will be great. What else is going on with, well, we've got our guest here. But we're going to get to him in just a second. We'll be right back. He's got a lot of things happening today, too. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. Again, today we've got Sam Allen, who started the stand-up for Reading. Chief Rob Pelletti will be here at 7:30. Reverend Ann Curran will be here at 8 o'clock to talk about the daycare center for the homeless that she is proposing. And I'm sure there's lots of questions about that. You know, this is the people's voice, KCNR 1460.
In here.
And the bass keeps running, running, and running, running,
and running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and running.
Change your world in as few as 16 months. Simpson University's popular Aspire degree completion program was designed for busy working adults. Choose degree programs as diverse as organizational leadership, psychology, liberal studies, business and HR management, or the RN to BSN step-up program, all relevant in today's competitive job market. Student success fuels our program success. With a 96% graduation rate over the past 20 years, our Aspire degree completion program is a challenging yet rewarding adult learning experience. Custom tailor your degree success plan with our dedicated academic counselors who will personally guide you on your educational journey. Call today and speak with our admissions professionals. But don't delay. This spring's application deadline is approaching and classes will be filled soon. Call 1-888-9-SIMPSON today to speak with an admissions professional or visit us online at simpsonu.edu/aspire. Simpson University School of Continuing Studies. Challenge your mind. Ignite your heart. Change your world.
The City of Reading Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. The summer is a good time to give your irrigation system a tune-up. Remove anything blocking the sprinkler heads and fix any broken ones. Look at the spray heads on your sprinklers while they're working. Adjust them to avoid overspray onto driveways and sidewalks. Excess water flowing into the gutter doesn't help your landscape and it can pollute our creeks and rivers. Be water smart. Visit ReadingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Reading Water Utility. At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Reading. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
The local headlines say it all. Crime is on the rise in Shasta County. Join Reading Police Chief Rob Paletti and a panel of experts and officials who will discuss crime in our communities and what can be done about it. This will be your chance to ask questions, voice concerns, and take part in this important town hall meeting on the topic of crime. The meeting will be held at Sequoia Middle School Auditorium in Reading, 1805 Sequoia Street at Placer on Wednesday evening. Meeting begins at 6 p.m., but plan to arrive early because seating is limited. This important town hall event will also be broadcast to the community without commercial interruption on KCNR 1460, courtesy of Reading Rancheria. Again, the town hall meeting to address the topic of crime in our community will be held at Sequoia Middle School Wednesday evening beginning at 6, broadcast live on KCNR 1460, brought to the community by Reading Rancheria.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
You are never going to get everything you want in this world. First things first, get what you deserve.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. You know what? It's about as far as getting what you deserve. What do we deserve? We deserve a border that is secure. We, as the American people, we deserve a border that's secure. That's a completely different subject than what I'm getting ready to talk to about. Dave Cockrell's with us today, and he's going to be talking about two different things that are happening, but one of them is, and I can't believe you didn't bring one in, the Peach Festival.
Oh, the Peach Festival? Yeah, good morning, Carl. Good morning, everyone. The Peach Festival is actually a community awareness event. We're trying to get the community aware what the veterans bring to the community. This includes American Legion, VFW, AMVETS, you got the Marine Corps. We're hoping that a lot of the organizations will be there. There will be peaches and ice cream, hot dogs, tri-tip, popcorn, cotton candy, and soft drinks, and probably other things. The idea is for to make the community aware of what the veterans bring to the community. I've been to an event or to a school, and they talked about Boy State, and they thought that we were dead, American Legion. And that's not so. That's a very good program.
They thought you all were the Boy State?
Oh, actually, the American Legion was no longer...
Was no longer there?
In the community. And I says, well, yeah, we're there. And I think one of the biggest problems, we don't go out and actually tell the community. I've been to a schools trying to get this program going. Mm-hmm. And have had very little success. It's an outstanding program for the juniors in high school. And every one of the students comes back is very enthused. I'm hoping to have them go on either the radio or on television so that the community understands this.
Well, I'd love to have them on here.
Okay. Well, I'm working on that. Also, AmVets has an outstanding program, that, and I went to that program in Valley Forge. It's a three-day event. If they write an essay and win, they have a chance to go there. And I'll tell you what, I was very, very excited and to see the students that went there evolve, watch this program take effect. An outstanding program. I mean, we have so many outstanding programs that are available to the community for the students themselves. I found that the most of the students themselves are the ones that are interested in the programs.
So the schools aren't really touting the programs, is that it? Is it just because of ignorance?
Well, I've given out flyers. Hopefully, one of the teachers transferred from Fall River Mills to the new Boy State and contact me. The trouble is she contacted me too late. And I would love to get back to her to try to get a student from Enterprise.
Have you done a presentation to the, you know, they get all the school superintendents together before school starts.
That's one of the things I've been asking, and I was told to try to do that, to try to bring a presentation. I think that if we could get more involvement from the community for the schools, this would, you can, Carl, I cannot express the how important these programs are. I mean, the VFW, the American Legion, Post 197, we are in the community. It's just that we don't really say it.
Because you're not organized.
Probably.
You're not organized. If you all organized, the veterans organized, you could, I mean, truly organized and got together, because there's enough of you.
Yes.
That is and enough active, of, I should say, of us. There's enough of us that are active that you could set up presentations. You could have a significant impact on this community, up to and including who gets elected around here. I just believe that, you know, if what we've got the people to do it, and unless we do a full offense in support of this, like when I, you know, when the school superintendent, when Armelino has his meeting of all the superintendents, all 20 of them, two or three people there say, this is what we have offered out there, and we're going to come to your school, and we want to come to your school and talk to your students about it. I think it's a great idea. I think Dave, what you've got going is just absolutely outstanding. But you got to hit them in the head with it, because they will take the easiest route out.
Yeah. Well, anyway, to get back, the whole idea of the Peach Festival, which is going to be August the 9th from 10 to 6 p.m., is to make the community aware. We would like to have veterans organizations set up tables. They might ask for donations, but the most important thing is to make the community aware. We want the community to come out to this event on August 9th.
Okay. So August 9th. And where's it going to be at?
It's going to be at Caldwell Park, down by where the Marine Gazebo is.
Well, it's all services, but thanks for saying Marines.
Well, the Marine, you know, the Marines' children, I support that. Our post does for tots. I mean, they're
right out there.
I mean, there's so much, like I said, there's so much the organizations do that we don't go out and tell the community. And if we ever sent a student to Valley Forge from the AmVets, or we send a student to Boy State and Sacramento Girls State, they come back, that is a plus for the student, it's a plus for the community, it's a plus for the school.
It is, and we should have them on the radio after that, and the organization say, hey, we want to have them on, and we'd love to do that, and it needs to have an article in the paper.
I agree.
You know, that they, you know, that says, hey, these kids have been going out here and getting these, and having this happen. So, it's a great idea, and all this is going to, all this is starting on the...
That's starting on the 9th of August, but we also have another event that's starting the 2nd of August.
Which is this Saturday.
This Saturday, and that is for veterans and spouses of the military. They're active. If they're gone on active or they're not available, and the wife or the spouse that needs services for the children, they're giving out backpacks for the children.
Uh-huh.
This is for veterans only. You need an ID to verify that you are a veteran. That could be a VA card. It could be your military dependence card.
Uh-huh.
Just so that we know that they're aware and they're going to be issuing, like I said, backpacks. That goes on from Saturday, 8 a.m. to noon, and that's at the Memorial Hall downtown, 1605 Yuba Street.
Okay.
That's correct.
And that's going to happen this Saturday.
This Saturday at...
and that's going to be handing out packs for kids getting ready to go back.
Go back to school.
School, and but it's for veterans.
This kids. Is for veterans kids, yes.
Great. And then, but the big one is on the 9th, putting
the
it all
9th.
Together.
All right. Right.
Well, we'll talk about that again before it happens.
Dave, okay.
Dave Cockrell's been with us. I know you're with all the organizations. Dave.
Yes, I'm with American Legion, Post 197, and that's Post 1996.
Where's 1996?
90, is it in Reading?
It's the one right down the street.
Down the street at Yuba Hall, right.
I just joined.
You just joined? No, you joined probably, I think, Post 4.
Was it the other one?
Yes. That's Palisadro, but you...
No. No, where's the one with the bar?
That's the Elks Club. That's the Post 4.
There's one right there.
Oh, you're talking about the VFW. That's 1934.
Yeah, 1934. Okay, and you're talking about which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about I belong to the one in Anderson.
Yeah, that's a great one. They do a lot of things.
They do a lot of things for Anderson schools.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's one of the, you know, this. And I'm going to be working with, hopefully, 1994, because I'm trying to get started, and this is through the American Legion, a recognition of the police officers or fire department in our community. And we have the 48, which I'm trying to get it reestablished. They have that program. And I believe that 1934 might. I'm going to have to approach them. I'd like to see our community police officers and firefighters get recognition that they well deserve. So that's one of the programs. Hopefully I can get started. I tried last year, but I got sick and it sort of died out.
Well, we need people like you, Dave, to continue on this. So stay well.
Okay.
All right, come on back in. We'll talk some more about this. Carl Lindebott, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sam Allen and the chief of police are going to be with us talking about tonight's huge event at Sequoia Middle School. We're talking about crime in Reading. We'll be right back. KCNR 1460. It is 7:27 in the morning, 69 degrees out.
Yeah. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Thanks to everybody who helped out with the junior livestock sale. Meantime, back at the salt mine, we're filling propane bottles, one right after another. That keeps Gary hopping. Robin in Corning is very busy with all the farmers and ranchers, so stop in and say hi. She loves our customers. In Weaverville, stop and see Diana. She is selling a lot of red and clear diesel and can fill your motorhomes and barbecue bottles. In Reading, we got another truckload of ethanol-free 93 and race car fuel. If you're one of us that's been blessed with new diesel trucks or pickups that take DEF urea fluid, give us a call. We have small jugs and big totes and can save you money. Johnny's back from cattle college, so if you're thinking of upgrading your heater, now's the time. Give him a call and talk about the new or used heater. Northern Lights Energy, small business, family owned. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. how long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California, 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring, we've got the best. It's hard to guess who's gonna make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air, 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's still in the hills with her seven girlfriends up someplace on a ranch up past Weed in the vicinity of Tennant. And just all of them together out there. I don't know. Maybe it's a coup attempt that they're going to come back. 7:31 in the morning, 69 degrees. It's July the 30th. This portion of the show is brought to you by Orchard Nutrition, the North State's nutrition experts. Located in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, that Orchard Nutrition is your center for a healthy lifestyle, the largest selection of natural foods and supplements in Northern California. Four nutritionists on the staff, raw food, organic food, bulk food, deli, you name it, it's there. You can get healthier just walking into the store. Orchard Nutrition. Tonight's a big night. We have the Chiefs quarterly town hall meeting, which has been going on for 2 years, that people were surprised to hear that. But I think, though, that has caused a huge huge impact on tonight's meeting was a Facebook page started by the lady that's with us today, Sam Allen. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Sam owns Carousel. It's a carousel, and it's right downtown here someplace, right?
Yes, it's in Lorenz.
Okay.
The corner of the Lorenz.
And you wrote dismayed and felt, you were just angry.
Not so much angry as just the fact of so many people come in and comment about the homeless and the transients and the crime. And I have to say this, like the meeting tonight, this is not about the homeless. Yes, they do trash and, you know, they're living in our canyons. But honestly, this is about crime. It's not about bashing the homeless or, you know, causing grief to people. And that, I think, is the biggest fallacy that I hear about, is they group everybody together. And I think the people are going to really get an education tonight. I hope they bring their questions about what is really going on. I think once they have a better understanding, because I certainly have had an education in the last couple of months, and it's pretty much an eye-opener.
What would you say the biggest thing you've learned in the last couple of months is?
I really did a lot of studying about the AB 109 realignment. And I, you know, the main thing I hear people say, why do they keep dumping these people off? Well, there are prisoners. They're not dumping. We're just getting them back. And I think, 10, 15 years ago, we were tough on crime. We had the new jail, and we were really tough on crime. And we sent them away, and little did we know we were going to get them back.
There wasn't an asterisk on it at the end that says, by the way, in 8 years you're getting them back.
I wish there would have been, because we probably would have sent them on through I-5 and let them keep going, because now I think the crime is a lot of them that are here. that we have no room for.
Chief Pelletti, Rob Pelletti, is with us today. Rob,
good morning.
Thanks for coming in. The AB 109 that Sam's talking about is something that we've been talking about for a long time, and but there is just so much misinformation out there, and you're absolutely right, Sam. This isn't about homeless. This is about crime.
Correct.
And what's causing the crime, and what can we do to fight crime?
Yeah, well, you know, I've this is our sixth town hall meeting, and if nothing else, Sam has helped us generate interest in the crime in the town hall meeting and getting people to come and find out what's going on. We've been doing these now for all of last year and half of this year. I changed the format a little bit for this town hall meeting. Traditionally, it's been the middle one in the first one of the year. We go over crime stats and a mid-year and end-year review of the police department and, you know, successes and goals and things that we've been able to accomplish, as well as what the crime stats are and where our concerns and challenges are. The middle ones, we've been doing education. We've done a gang presentation, identity theft, and crime prevention through environmental design. So we've been trying to inform the community about crime so that people have the correct information. AB 109 has been a big topic since I got here because it started the same month that that I became chief. So it's a huge issue that is negatively impacting the criminal justice system. And I've said on your show before that AB 109 has broke the criminal justice system. There is no ramification for people doing bad.
And by the way, Chief Pelletti is not the only one that said this. The district attorney has said it. The sheriff has said it. And if you could get a judge in here, they'd say it. And if you could get the average cop on the street, they'd say it. This system is broken for a variety of reasons. And I hope tonight that with this group of people you have the DA, you have the sheriff, you have the probation officer, you have the parole officer, you have Anderson, chief of police, and the
executive officer of the courts.
An executive officer of the courts. That everybody, and this is what's great, Sam, is you've done the research and gone back and looked at this. Everybody's going to hear how this is also interrelated. Mm-hmm. But I also want to hear ideas to fight this. What can we do as a community to combat crime? That we don't have to have businesses getting their windows broken in every week, businesses getting burgled six times, a person coming out of a nice restaurant and some derelict is urinating on their car because they won't give them money, or defecating in their business because they won't give them money. See, that's not homeless. That to me is criminals and need to be taken care of.
Well, and that's the part that we've been talking about as well over the last few years with the Reading Merchants Crime Watch and at the town hall meetings.
Yes.
This, everything gets lumped into a homeless population, but there's actually several populations within that. And, you know, right now with the homeless outreach program that we're doing right now, we're trying to get a picture of what that is and what the makeup of that population is so that we can work with county social services and we can work with the charities and the businesses to try to come up with a holistic strategy to deal with that entire population. But what does that population look like? If you talk to a homeless advocate, they'll tell you they're all downtrodden, poorly educated, and they just lost their jobs. If you talk to cops, you know, my cops will tell you that they're drug addicted, that they're criminals, that they can't get a home because they've been evicted a number of times. So we deal with different populations depending on where you are within that system or what folks you deal with. The charities and stuff that deal with the homeless deal with those that want help and come to them for help. My cops deal with the ones that don't want your help. So we're actually classifying them as wills, won'ts, and can'ts. There's also a population in there that's mentally ill that just doesn't know they need
they
help.
They won't. And
that's the can't.
I know. Do you run into that, Sam?
All the time. There's just in the last couple of days, there's a new young man he's like a zombie on the street, and he just walks up and down and up and down, and he talks to himself, and he's flailing around, and he clearly has severe mental issues.
But he's out walking on the street.
Where did he come from? I think the bottom line that people really want to know is, where have all these people come from? And we hear varying reports. Of course, I sit right across from the Greyhound and Raba, and it's every week I see new faces on the street, and they just wander around until they filter off probably into the green belts or wherever they settle.
And you know something else, too, is if you walk into our building today, you've noticed that there's two urns out in front that usually has flowers and stuff in there. Some guy came by yesterday screaming and yelling and ripped up all the shrubbery, all the flowers, and threw them on the ground.
Which goes back.
And then he ran across the street and ripped off tree limbs. And then ran off down the street.
Yeah.
Have you heard about
this? Yeah. Is he dressed in red?
Yeah.
Bald head. I know who he is. He's been in our neighborhood.
Which goes back to this county's gross lack of...
was not singling him out for his race. That's just... He's an African-American in a red shirt who rips up stuff.
Which goes back to this county's lack of... facilities to deal with mental health patients. And then they get on the street, and where do we stick them?
In the jail.
They end up going to the ERs, or they end up going to the jails. And both ERs are impacted by the mentally ill. The jail's impacted by the mentally ill. Tom Basenko's not a mental health institution. He's a correctional facility, but that's where they go when there's nowhere else to take them. You also have to understand that for law enforcement to arrest them for 5150 of the Welfare and Institutions Code, they have to be a danger to themselves, a danger to the others, or unable to care for themselves. Well, we arrest people for 5150 for unable to care for themselves. They're released because there's no facilities to hold them. Okay. So it's a huge issue all across the spectrum.
I agree, Sam.
This is just my personal conclusion that I've come to in all of this is somehow we need a facility that we can put the ones that continue to rotate in and out, a low security, minimum security area, whether it has bunk beds or whatever, like the least cost that we could do until, say, 5 years down the road we get
a jail. We need a facility to hold these people.
Well, and one of the
I mean, that's not up to you.
No,
you need to fill it up. But we need our leadership in this city, in this county, to get together and say, where is really the crux of the whole problem? The crux of the problem. I mean, there's many on there, but in the whole underlying measure of this is we don't have a place to put them. If we had enough police, which we don't, we have enough sheriffs, which we don't, we don't have a place to put them. If we had enough mental facilities, which we don't, you still need a place to hold these people that you arrest before they get to trial.
Absolutely. And we've been the sheriff and I have and the sheriff's come to my town hall meetings and given the community statistics on the jail and the impaction of the jail and the effects of AB 109, the parolees, don't go back to prison when they violate parole. They go to Tom Basenko. If you're nonviolent, non-serious, or not a high-risk sex offender, you don't go to prison anymore. You go to Tom Basenko. And the jail has 381 beds with a 90% cap. I mean, if you do the math, I put out some bleak statistic in the paper the other day that we made almost 7,900 arrests last year, a little over. 4,300 of those arrests were 1,100 people. Now, the top offenders there, those are our downtown drunks, quite frankly, that we pick up all the time and they have to stay until they're sober and then they're released. We need to find a mechanism to deal with that better because that takes up a lot of police and jail time. But at the same time, if you just cut that out of the top 15, then you've still got 1,100 people that are committing 62% of our crime.
Well, they're low risk. The ones on the street are the low risk. They are now becoming high risk because they know they can get away with crimes.
They become emboldened.
Well, they're very, very bold.
And the amount of methamphetamine that's on the street right now and the heroin that's coming in and the purity level of those drugs that are coming in because of the volume that's coming in is creating a more violent offender.
You know what? I just heard this from somebody else that said that what they're running into is the heroin. The younger people
with the cutbacks of prescriptions for opium based painkillers, heroin is coming in and it's coming in big. And methamphetamine creates addiction, which creates crime because they have to get the money to buy the drug. Heroin is much worse.
Okay,
much worse on the crime side.
Yeah, and
they're not as violent, but
which
they're
you
more
like.
Desperate.
Right, they're more desperate. We've only got like a half hour here, but I want to get to. I'm going to take a quick break right now. Terry, hang on to after the break. I'll get you up right then. We're going to hear some new ideas. I know you're working on a lot of proposals here, Chief, and I know that you're going to be hearing these tonight. But Sam, you hit the nail right on the head. We need to find a way of getting them off the street and keeping them off the street. If this is a drunk that's come in and vandalized your place, but yet he turns around and gets out, you know, that same day, well, maybe he's still drunk. I'm not sure that'll happen, but if he comes out, we need a place to put him for 30, 40 days to get counseling, to start the rehab, to start the rehab. That way you keep him off the streets or her off the streets long enough to at least get something going, and you get their attention. And then it takes the pressure off the police for having to go back and pick them up again four times.
Well, it gives them dry out time because the methamphetamine compounds in the system, and it just keeps them up and up and up and up and up and up, and it causes bigger problems.
Carl and Lindabot, KCNR 14.6. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Our friends there have Espresso Joe's. They have it all. And veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew. And they are one of the businesses that are also hit a lot by crime from people just walking in and taking something and walking out. We'll be right back.
I came to dance, 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 dance. You. I hit the floor cause that's my plans, 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 plans. You. I'm wearing all my favorite brands, 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 brands. You. Give me some space for both my hands, 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 hands. You, you, cause it goes on and on and on. And it goes on.
The juice. Red wine vinegar and olive oil perfectly blended. It's how a Jersey Mike sub gets its one-of-a-kind sass. It's how bites and chomps get bonused. The juice adds that certain something extra. An exclamation. The kind of exclamation you can eat. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Stop in at Jersey Mike's today and snazz up any cold sub with the juice.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your Barefoot Plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. We are all blessed to live in such a beautiful and bountiful area of California. If your home was built before the early 1990s, chances are that many of your water-using fixtures in your home do not meet today's strict water-conserving codes or standards. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at www.wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
Look for Wallner online or in the Smart Yellow Pages.
The local headlines say it all. Crime is on the rise in Shasta County. Join Reading Police Chief Rob Poletti and a panel of experts and officials who will discuss crime in our communities and what can be done about it. This will be your chance to ask questions, voice concerns, and take part in this important town hall meeting on the topic of crime. The meeting will be held at Sequoia Middle School Auditorium in Reading, 1805 Sequoia Street at Placer on Wednesday evening. Meeting begins at 6 p.m., but plan to arrive early because seating is limited. This important town hall event will also be broadcast to the community without commercial interruption on KCNR 1460, courtesy of Reading Rancheria. Again, the town hall meeting to address the topic of crime in our community will be held at Sequoia Middle School Wednesday evening beginning at 6, broadcast live on KCNR 1460, brought to the community by Reading Rancheria.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 Sports Show, brought by Reading Crown Motors. Don't go any further than 555 Cypress Avenue for your Ford, Dodge, Dodge, Ram, Lincoln, Nissan, or Honda, plus any type of previously owned car, truck, or SUV. 555 Cypress Avenue, Reading Crown Motors. Great people down there. Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning. You have a question.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, as we all know, the county budget kind of goes, I think it's June to June. Might be July to July. They're all different. But we, back in, I believe it was March, we were told we weren't going to get our mental health money, which is $3 million from the state. And I know at that time, David Keogh's response to that was he was going to write a stern letter to the state. I talked to him about it later, and he said that happens to us a lot. These guys are dealing without money to Tom and the chief. They're dealing without money to do anything with these mental these people who have mental issues. And the other thing is that the with private the private sector, Carl's mentioned building a jail. Is there something hopefully we can do there? And if there was something in a place to put them, I mean, we did have Crystal Creek. If there was a place to put them, was there some sort of legality of why we haven't done that? Was there something, some legal reason we haven't been able to overcome in the last couple of years? And also, the last question I have is this going to be archived tonight so if folks are out of town and they can't hear it, they can listen to it on your station, Carl? Will it be in your archives?
Well, I tell you what, it will be archived. I'm looking at Bad Bob. Bad Bob's looking at me.
It will be recorded.
And then we will put it in the archives. I'll get our webmaster this morning.
If they didn't get it firsthand.
You know, the other thing, too, is what we're going to do is put a direct link and put it right on the front page of our website so people can get to it. Not only that, we're using Robert, who's going to come down there and Robert Exter is going to come down there and videotape it, so it'll be YouTubed also.
So we'll have it. Okay.
It's going to be in two or three different ways, and we really push for people to come out. Listen to everybody that has something to say that can talk about how this is happening, what's being done about it, and in the new ideas to combat this. So thanks a lot, Terry.
Terry, I can talk a little bit about, you know, I'm not – when you look at the criminal justice system, you know, obviously the police department is the enforcement and the intake. The DA does the prosecution. The courts do the trials and the sentencing. The sheriff does the corrections, and probation does the rehabilitation. That's essential, simplistic view of how that works. So, you know, the direct, you know, questions about jail bed space and additions and everything else, you know, really, that's why I'm bringing the sheriff.
So that he can
answer those questions. But, you know, I will say, you know, that the California Code of Regulations that governs a correctional facility is long, it's arduous, and the fear that sheriffs that I've talked to throughout the state have now is that not only is it that arduous already, but because they're housing parolees now, state prisoners, that the same requirements and restrictions that are being put on and inspections that are being done by these advocacy groups for the offenders can now come and inspect the jails, and that's going to have a huge impact on counties.
It is. ADA and all that's going to come. The lawyers are circling like crows over the jails. Crystal Creek.
Crystal Creek.
Everybody asked that question.
Too old.
And it is in severe disrepair, and that's why, and plus it belongs to the state. And Sam, you obviously have looked at this too.
Yes, I've asked about that. I've thrown ideas and questions, whatever comes into my head in the middle of the night. But Crystal Creek is too antiquated. It's too far out. You know, I mean, really. My question is, if there's $500 million sitting in state funds, who can request that? Does Paseco, can he request that we use some of that money to actually open up a low-security temporary?
That would be a good question for Tom tonight, I don't know the answer to that. I know that the money that the state has to give for jails and jail construction is moderated through or doled out by the Bureau of State Community Corrections. It's a new panel that they put together a couple of years ago when AB 109 came into place. Sheriff Basenko went to that panel and lobbied to get the 64-bed facility that the state is going to build, but that's still 3 to 4 years out. We need a quicker solution to that because Tom – I think that the Sheriff's Department and Probation, we're starting to get a grip on those that are sentenced. And we're getting some better success in that arena. The problem is the pre-sentence people that don't show up to court and never get to the sheriff and probation after they're sentenced because they don't show up to court because they're not held.
And they don't use the funding that goes for rehabilitation if they don't show up.
You can't rehabilitate them.
You can't rehabilitate them. And if those and if the rehabilitation programs are not in place, then we get less funding next year. And
with
we get a whole other batch of them next year.
Hi, Terry. I didn't know you were still there.
Yeah, with all due respect, that money isn't there. That's why with the fire tax, they've taken that money out. In fact, three-quarters of it, and it's common knowledge. The Associated Press, Dan Thompson, did the article. Record Sure Slide published it. Ma'am, that money isn't there. That's what I just got through saying. The mental health money is not there. This is fact. That 500 million or billion mm-hmm. is not there. That's why they're taking money and putting everything into the general fund. That's why you're going to have a tax on gas for another 12 to 18 cents starting in January. That's why we have all these new taxes. We keep talking that money is not there, and you can check with the state. It's mm-hmm. not there. Just like the chief wasn't reimbursed for the Chaparral incident. 26 agencies, that money is not there. That's the issue with California. Why do you think all these different taxes are happening? Why do you think you have to pay another dollar a gallon on paint? I mean, it's not there. This is something we're going to have to figure out locally. I mean, once we look at the facts, and that's why in a lot of cases, a lot of people, six counties have pushed for the state of Jefferson, or at least representation, because there is no money in California. We're almost $1 trillion in debt.
Okay, Terry. Hey, Terry, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. And we'll, because we only got a couple minutes left. All right. Terry's saying there's no money there. I don't know if there is money there or not.
But
it's something to check. But if there is some money there, and if we can present a united front. And frankly, you know, Chief, for you and the sheriff and the other people in the law enforcement side, this is a big night tonight. This is where people, for the first time that I can remember, and of course I've only been here 7 years, but this is the first time that I've really seen that not only are the people on one page, the media is on one page, the police and the sheriff are on one page, and the politicians had better get on the page, or they're going to be left out.
Well, you know, and
we can do something now.
I said this already, but I think it bears repeating that, you know, whatever it's called, whether it's a silent protest or people coming to be informed or whatever, I'm glad they're showing up. This is what I've been trying to get people to come and get informed on what's going on in their community, because it is a community problem, and it takes a community to solve that problem. And so we've been putting out a lot of information over the last couple of years, and I don't think the messaging is getting through. I mean, we've talked about, you know, some of the abatement order we got on a problem hotel downtown. We've talked about, you know, the arrests that we've made of major criminals that have taken place in the community and major incidents, and some of the things that, despite the Reading Police's, staffing levels, we're still having,
you know,
those successes,
and that's important
to focus on rather than just the negative.
You need to get that out tonight. These are the things that have gone on. Like, we know that there hasn't been one major crime in Reading that's occurred that y'all haven't solved.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there's one or two, but for the most part, you know,
they came inside my car and went through up my truck and actually piled everything up neater than they found it and took a dollar. So, but besides that, now Sam, is it a protest or is it just?
Originally, it was a stand in silence. It was to be there in support of our city officials and our police department. And we, you know, we hear people bashing, and quite honestly, at first when you mentioned about the cameras, I thought, oh gosh, we could probably use that money somewhere else. Now, in retrospect, after having a better education, it's probably going to save us millions in lawsuits, because right now our police department, I feel, is just stretched so thin and so frustrated, and they're like the rest of us. And so the cameras might be a really great idea, because I think in the long run, everyone that's, like you say, the attorneys are out there waiting to, you know, sue
looking for
anybody
deep pockets,
everyone needs money, you know. And so I think in the long run, that might be a really brilliant idea, because it will keep everyone in check.
Now, are you urging all your friends and all your associates? You had how many hits did you have on that one post?
I had it's up to over 19,000
hits on that.
19,000 hits on that And that's not, I think, Donnie and News Cafe's up to around 7,000. And then who knows how many shares, you know, people have passed it on.
You know,
so.
You know, Chief, you are, and we've only got like 30 seconds left. Just a big thank you coming from all of you all to Sam. Now is the time. We've got everybody's attention. Now is the time to move forward and come and issue the orders. All right. Hey, tonight, 6 p.m., Sequoia Middle School. Be there. We'll be broadcasting it, too. We'll be right back right after these messages.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional. Treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The son of a North Carolina missionary who is fighting the Ebola virus in Liberia during the worst outbreak in history said she continues to improve in her battle. Nancy Reitbol's son, Jeremy, told NBC's Today Show there's also some worry that his father could become infected.
He's been very healthy right now, and as I talked with him last night, he was feeling fine, working hard, and so we just continue to hope and trust for the best in his case and situation.
Reitbol's been working in Liberia with the aid group serving in mission. It maintains a hospital that's been treating Ebola patients. A private survey shows that businesses hired at a healthy clip in July, though the job gains slowed compared to the previous month. Economist Mark Zandi of Moody's Analytics.
Another good report. We got a gain in July of 218,000 private sector jobs.
The payroll processor ADP says that this was the fourth straight month of job gains. A court has ruled that Boulder County must stop issuing marriage licenses to homosexual couples. That is, as the Colorado Supreme Court considers an appeal from the state's attorney general. Matt Staver of the Liberty Council tells SR News it is the main social issue of our time.
This is the most critical cultural issue that we're facing. It literally could destroy the culture. And now we're seeing an attorney general either not defending or sabotaging or even giving weak defenses. Now, this is an issue I think that will be a defining moment, not only for the church, but for the culture in general and for the future of America.
State's attorney general has been trying for several weeks to get Boulder's clerk to stop issuing those marriage licenses to homosexual couples, saying the state's laws need to be enforced until such time as there is a decisive court ruling in the case. And Wall Street stocks have been responding well to the latest word coming from the Fed and the government about GDP growth. The Dow was up about 50 points. This is SRN News.
You have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
When leading hardwood mills have excess flooring to sell, there's only one place they go. Lumber Liquidators, America's number one specialty retailer of wood flooring. This week, get amazing deals like gorgeous 3/4-inch solid pre-finished Brazilian cherry hardwood for only $2.99 per square foot. Or quick click strand bamboo for 37% less than other stores. Plus, get first quality laminate flooring for 49 cents. So go to LumberLiquidators.com today to find your local store. Special 12-month financing is available. Hurry, these deals end Tuesday.
The acting U.S. Surgeon General is asking Americans to give up their love of sunbathing in indoor tanning beds, acting Surgeon General Boris Lushniak.
Our message today is simple, that we need to increase action as a country to promote prevention for skin cancer. And there are many reasons for this sense of urgency and this call to action today.
Among them, Lushniak says skin cancer in the U.S. is widespread and extremely costly.
Skin cancer remains the most commonly diagnosed cancer in the United States. Each year, nearly 5 million people are treated for skin cancer at an estimated annual cost of over $8 billion.
And Lushniak says in a new report that nearly 5 million people in the U.S. come down with some form of skin cancer every year. And he says those rates won't change until Americans' attitudes toward sunbathing do. This is SRN News. Water that gushed from a broken 30-inch pipe near the UCLA campus yesterday inundated the school's famed basketball arena, which just undergone a $132 million renovation.
It's painful. It's painful. You know, as you know, it's just we just refurbished Paulie just a few years ago, and it's a beautiful structure.
That's UCLA Chancellor Gene Block. The broken water mains had a geyser about 30 feet high. The FBI may be moving to a new home.
The General Services Administration has named two sites in suburban Maryland and one in Northern Virginia as the three finalists for the new FBI headquarters. The J. Edgar Hoover building opened in 1974. Its detractors say it's obsolete, inefficient, and no longer meets the needs of an organization that's grown dramatically in the past 40 years.
That's SRN's Rich Thomason reporting. More details at srnnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the people's voice right here at KCNR 1460. Your phone lines here are 605-4567. It is 8:06 in the morning, July the 30th, and Linda's on her, what can I say? What is the right word for this? Her
getaway.
Getaway with the girls and up in the mountains up past Weed and Tennant up in that area and the a nice area up there. They're all there just...
I'm other sure other they're, terms they're come to mind of dubious
higher
ability
spiritual,
to put on the
they're in a higher spiritual plane, obviously.
Is that it?
I like to think that. Let's start off with Kathy Lathrop Cummings, our Wells Fargo advisor with all the things that are happening in Wall Street. What, is it all good news or what, Kathy?
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, everyone. All a matter of your perspective, whether it's good news or bad. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 89 points at 16,822. The S&P 500 is down 2 at 1967. And the NASDAQ is positive 4 at 4447. Active stocks this morning include Twitter, which is up $8.14 at $46.73, Bank of America up 5 cents at $15.39. Stocks of local interest, Bank of Commerce is unchanged at $6.39, and North Valley Bank is up 30 cents at $21.30. Turning to the bond market, we find lower prices, which has brought the 10-year Treasury yield to 2.53%. In the commodity markets, crude oil is up 12 cents at $101.09. Gold is down $4.50 at $1,296. Silver is down one penny at $20.56. That's the market for now. This is Financial Advisor Kathy Lathrop Cummings with the Reading Office of Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC.
Hey, thanks a lot, Kathy. We have our Wells Fargo Advisors on Monday through Friday at 7:06, 8:06 and 9:06 in the morning, talking about what's happening on Wall Street and why should you listen to them? Why should you give them a call at 243-7561? Because they're experts in what they do. They are an expert on investments, on your KEOs, your IRAs, your retirement plans. Why not go to experts there? Have them take a look at what you're doing. Is it the right plan for you? Is it going to lead to that financial success you want at the, you know, when you start getting into the older parts of your life or the, say, the more experienced parts of your life. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for retirement? Give them a call, 243-7561, Wells Fargo Advisors. Bad Bob, weather.
The Misery Index, a matter of degrees today for the weather report. Depending on who you ask, it could be 103 or it could be 109 for the high, and that's going to taper off for a couple of days, but we're still into the triple digits.
109?
109. Overnight lows in the 70s, and that's going to continue for the next several days. Not a drop of rain in sight for the foreseeable future. Right now in Reading, we have 75 degrees with the report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends.
You know what? I don't, you know, that is their saying, but every time it's going to be 112 and we say our customers are warm friends, I wonder, do they really want us to say that?
I mean, really, I have to question it myself. They do offer senior and veteran discounts.
I mean, they're great people, but our customers are warm friends. I mean, quite our warm. Customers are hot and sweaty. You know, But they're great people. I mean, you can't ask. I mean, these are really nice people, and they do a great job. Veterans discounts, seniors discounts. What's their phone number again?
365-3793.
You know, every time you say that, and I'm getting ready to talk about Alliance Heating and Air, whose whole job is to try and keep you cool because everybody's your systems in your house. When's the last time you look at it? When's the last somebody crawled underneath your house with these air ducts? And then you find out that your air ducts may have dropped so that you are air conditioning your entire bottom of your – maybe your basement or that crawl space because they're not connected together. Well, this is what Alliance Heating and Air does, Martin and his people. They go down and they're going to give a complete look at your system. And with the cost of electricity skyrocketing, you need help. And what happens if it breaks down? Who do you call? Alliance Heating and Air. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week if you need to have an emergency. 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Alliance Heating and Air. I bet you never thought we'd get to you. I'm here with the Reverend Ann Korn from the Pilgrim Congregational Church.
Yep.
And Ann has been, I've known Ann for several years. Mm-hmm. And you have always been there for people.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I could say that way.
Thank you.
Well, you have. I mean, and it's been kind of low key in a lot of cases. But you've taken a big step right here. I mean, you've come out forcefully in your quest to provide comfort to people. Can you talk about that?
Well, you know, for the last, I'd say 3 years, I've been in conversations with people around town doing in the, working with, in the continuum of care with Jessica, with the chief of police, the business people, just talking about, you know, how do we mitigate the problem of the homeless? And, in other communities, I've worked with, creating day resource centers. And, everyone would say, oh, great idea, but who's going to do it, you know? And so those of us who've been talking about it just decided, we needed to bite the bullet and create a 501c3 so that we're in a position to allow the possibility of a location to be created and this to happen. It's not a new – we're not talking about creating a new agency. We're talking about creating a location for the excellent agencies that we have to be able to work together and for people to get cleaned up.
Okay, so the concept of this is, and this is what – I mean, as soon as you say it, there's emotions on this.
Right, it's huge.
It's a Reading daycare center for the homeless.
Right. Well, I call it a day resource center.
Day resource center. Okay, you're right. Reading Day Resource Center for the Homeless, in which you're envisioning a building or a site that has numerous agencies there that people like, you know, everything, I guess.
Exactly.
That a homeless person can come in off the streets, can get cleaned up, get out of the heat or cold, and be helped
and connect
there.
Yeah, it's, you know, and in a way it's, we have a example of the Homeless Connect, the one day where people can go and get connected to the different resources they need. So in that aspect of it, it's like a Homeless Connect that's there, probably just the weekdays right now. We don't know how much we'll be able to really pull off. Depends on how many people step forward to be part of it. But so often a person who is homeless, once you're dirty and you have to scrounge to figure out where to take care of your necessary things. You're hygienic.
Hygienic.
When, yeah. And, you know, you become less able to think. You feel less human. You know, when you come off a camping trip and you get a shower, you step out of the shower, what do you say? God, I feel more human. I feel human again. So I don't realize how easy it is for people to get, just kind of lose their sense of how to act and operate on a basic level. And so you offer them the possibility to do that, and then you've got mental health professionals and people who work with drug and alcohol abuse and even Social Security office to be able to help people get their IDs. You've got those in one location so somebody can start to actually take those little steps to get their life back together.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break here. Our guest is Reverend Ann Corren, and her idea, and it's been in the paper, and it's getting a lot of, it seems like it's getting a lot of play, is the Reading Day Resource Center for the Homeless, which puts a lot of the resources to help people that are homeless or in trouble under one roof, but also gives a place for the homeless to come to clean up and get situated during the day. It's not open at night, though, right?
Right. It's not a night shelter.
So they've got to go out again. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll be right back right after these messages. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. It's 8:15 in the morning, 76 degrees out there, going up into the hundreds. We'll be right back.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling. Yeah.
Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Bill.
We the People Radio is all about the whole story, all the stuff the mainstream media only covers in sound bites. Every Sunday morning, We the People Radio digs into the politics of public policy, communitarianism, land use, Agenda 21, smart growth, immigration, elections, veterans affairs, education, guns, mining, timber, water, and wolves.
You know, for over 3 years, we've spoken with famous and not so famous people from around the world who understand the principles of limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution.
Well, thanks, Bill. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us for guest information and our extensive archives.
It's all about We the People here at We the People Radio every Sunday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. here on KCNR 1460 a.m.
Join Erin Ryan and Bill Cundiff this and every Sunday for a full 2 hours of in-depth discussion with the experts in their field. Things you won't hear in the mainstream media. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
The local headlines say it all. Crime is on the rise in Shasta County. Join Reading Police Chief Rob Poletti and a panel of experts and officials who will discuss crime in our communities and what can be done about it. This will be your chance to ask questions, voice concerns, and take part in this important town hall meeting on the topic of crime. The meeting will be held at Sequoia Middle School Auditorium in Reading, 1805 Sequoia Street at Placer on Wednesday evening. Meeting begins at 6 p.m., but plan to arrive early because seating is limited. This important town hall event will also be broadcast to the community without commercial interruption on KCNR 1460, courtesy of Reading Rancheria. Again, the town hall meeting to address the topic of crime in our community will be held at Sequoia Middle School Wednesday evening beginning at 6, broadcast live on KCNR 1460, brought to the community by Reading Rancheria.
National news with a local view. KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460, July the 30th. We've lost July. One more day here. I want to remind everybody, of course, that tonight is at Sequoia Middle School. This is really, really big town hall meeting. If you are concerned about crime and what's being done about it in our city, tonight is the night you go to Sequoia Middle School. It starts at 6 p.m. I'd get there early. They're going to open up the doors early so you can get a seat because it's going to be crowded. It may be full. If you can't get in, you can't make it there tonight. We will be broadcasting it live over KCNR 1460. We will be archiving it, and it will also be videotaped. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to work that one. I know they're tied in with us somehow, so they can come out. All right. By the way, Chuck Kinney, who Shasta Gas Propane called, he's changing his motto. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. There you go, Chuck. You know what? I've been thinking about this the whole time, and I thought, wow. I mean, and you know, here's the beauty of
the power of radio.
Power of radio and being able to own, you know, owning your own show and station is, okay, we can do that. So we just changed the tagline. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. All right. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Back to School Resources Expo at Mount Shasta Mall. August 9th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. featuring programs for children, including everything, sports, drama, robotics. I can go on forever. Martial arts, makeup options, hair braiding bar, nutrition, health, exercise programs, and much more. Plus, a fashion show at 1 p.m. in Macy's Court. Linda is going to be there at Center Court at noontime for a live broadcast, and then the fashion show. August 9th, Mount Shasta Mall, and it starts at 10 a.m. It goes to 6 p.m. My guest is today is Reverend Ann Korn, Pilgrim Congregational Church, Reverend.
Yes.
And beautiful church.
Yes, it is.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah. Great place.
Amazing, huh? Amazing.
Great music venue.
Oh, absolutely. Her idea, she felt like the need to do this, and you are kind of a low-key person. So, mm-hmm. You stepped out here in front and said, we need a resource center for the homeless here in Reading.
Right.
And you gave your reasons for it. Here's my push mm-hmm. back.
Yeah.
We've got limited funds. Right. I mean, everybody's got limited funds. You can watch that because we're associated with so many different organizations
Absolutely.
That want us to, you know, so we're aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the money going down and down and down. And so now you're advocating starting another organization out there to split the funds out.
Well, actually, that's exactly what I'm not doing. We had to create a new organization to invite people to get together and work together because there are too many pieces on there, too many people going after that pie. And it's not that there are too many people. We have to consolidate our resources. We have great resources here in town, but bring them together so people can access them. Bring them together under so that they're sharing a building. In some cases, some of them won't need their own buildings. I mean, the pie is too small for what's there. So I'm not saying do any less, but let's do it more effectively and efficiently.
So how many organizations are we talking about here? Are you talking about like the mental health, county mental health?
Right.
City and county organizations or agencies right now.
Right, and the veterans organizations and then the smaller ones that ones that are not are private ones.
Yeah.
Nonprofits.
Nonprofits
that are out there we're not effective right now. You've got to admit it. We are not effective.
Government is never effective. Government in most cases is not.
Right.
It's not their job
because
to be effective.
The people are not effective. We could be, forget government, just be an effective community. There's enough agencies out there. We know that we have the will to help those who do need help and can accept it. But we're not doing it really well yet. It's true that there are too many people in the pie, and some people might get angry with me for saying what I'm going to say next, but that's okay.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. And you, yeah. Often when I've been at some of the meetings, you really get the sense of the competition, and everybody's kind of does a dog and pony show to show that they're more worthy to get the piece of pie. And the continuum of care is an excellent, important aspect. But let's make that be what it can truly be without feeling like it's this fight for the pie. I didn't want to do this, I have to tell you. I've worked with housing issues I started Habitat for Humanity back in the 70s, in the 80s in Humboldt County. I worked with a homeless resource center in Santa Barbara. You know, I didn't want to do that when I got here, but nobody else. Everybody's saying, "Yeah, we need this. We have a problem. God knows we've got a problem here. And I just, we just had to step forward and get it started.
We do have a problem. It's a horrible problem.
It's a horrible problem.
But is part of it because there's a lot of things offered right here in Reading?
No, the part of it is because the wrong things are offered. But
Wait a minute. Hang on to that thought just for a second. Let me finish what I was saying is that a lot of people will say is because we're a county seat.
Mm-hmm.
We have and we have a lot of programs where people get free bikes. It's almost a free ride if they do some things, because if they get arrested, they're not going to stay in jail because they're not violent. Mm-hmm. So that attracts a certain group of people, which really, frankly, impacts very derogatorily on real homeless that are out there.
Exactly.
So when you have all of that happening and it just people keep coming in like this, is this just another way to attract more people?
Well, I have two responses to that. One is that in every single city I have lived and worked in since 1970, the exact same thing is said. The problem is that there are homeless everywhere. And, there's great programs in San Luis Obispo. There's great programs in Santa Barbara. There's a fantastic program in Long Beach. So if you're a homeless, would you rather be in Reading or Santa Barbara?
So are you advocating we get busloads?
Yeah.
And we ship them there?
No.
Want to go to Santa Barbara and play polo?
Right. Yeah, there you go. No, I obviously not. But what I am saying...
May not be a bad idea.
What I am saying is that if they had the means to be going somewhere, they would not be here necessarily. I just want to pull that argument apart a little bit, because it's just ubiquitous. It's everywhere. In every community, that same argument is there. But I also think that if we are working differently with the homeless and offering those that are here that are in need, and so many of them have mental and emotional disabilities. When we're working and getting those connected, we actually are able to see, to identify the ones that are using the system. And, send them out or just away from them.
Well, how would you do that?
Well,
I mean, that's a pretty harsh thing to say, throw them out or take it away from them. How would you do that, though, Anne?
Well, you don't.
I thought we couldn't do that.
Well, you do it. It's actually by their self-selection. It happens in the mission programs. If they're not able or willing to move through a program, they don't select into it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are many other reasons why people don't select into the mission program that they might. One of them is one that we want to address, too, which is be a totally sectarian, open, non-religious institution. So that's not peace at all.
Well, that seems to be one of the... That's one of the complaints that they say. Oh, we don't want to go to the mission because we don't want to be preached to. But
what if you're a very devout Muslim and you're hungry,
and it's
an affront to you?
Go to the mosque.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
okay.
I mean,
if the mosque has a program.
I mean, that's okay. I understand what you're saying, but okay. All right.
Yeah, I think that it's arrogant to say if they're hungry they can listen to me. That's there's an arrogance in there that demeans a person just because they are hungry. A person is still has the right to be honored for the integrity of their being, regardless of their needs at the moment.
Okay. So a non-sectarian organization.
Community center.
A community center for homeless. What about the ones that are just using it? How do you winnow them out?
Well, I think that if somebody comes in and takes a shower, you don't know. Excuse me. They may have a a home, but their water bill, their water's been shut off. You don't check them at the door and say, why are you using the shower? You're absolutely, those services are open to anyone who,
right.
If somebody comes and uses a toilet, you know, maybe they're a business person, they're on this side of town and they need to use the toilet, you know? You don't stop and ask people at that point. Not for customers only.
No, I understand that part. But what about the ones that come in there and they've been using drugs, or they're drunk, or they're mentally unstable, as we know a lot of them are out here, and they just don't want to be seen. I'm just going to be sitting here in the air conditioning and don't mess with me.
Right.
What about those?
Well, for some of them, they've passed a point of being able to think their way to the next step up. And in one level, you have to let them get clean and sober, literally cleaned up, and with some kindness, remind them that they are human beings. I've done that with people before, and they get to a point where they say, I need to call my mom. I need to get an ID card again. I need to apply for a job. I used to go to school, you know, but they're not. They're not necessarily ready to do that when they walk in.
Okay. No,
so
I understand
you have to give
that.
Them that space.
No, it's like, I hate to simplify it, but it's like quitting smoking or quitting using tobacco or quitting using whatever. You've got to say, okay, today I quit.
And
until you do that, you really, frankly, don't want to.
Right.
Okay.
But to have the possibility for AA and NA meetings being happening right there, so someone comes in and they have a little bit of openness to it, just send them into the people who really know how to talk about that.
Okay. Our guest is Reverend Ann Corrin, who is the Reverend up at the Pilgrim Congregational Church, but she is advocating a homeless resource center, or a day resource center for the homeless here in Reading. And for the reasons that there is none out there that puts everything under one roof. The fact that even though that there's the mission there, that people may not want to go to the mission that provides a lot of the stuff, because they don't want to listen to any type of religious talk, or that they shouldn't have to go and listen to it, because if they don't believe in it, and this leaves them nowhere else to go. And we're going to talk. We got a lot more to talk about when we come back on this. Carl Lindebaugh, KCNR, 1460.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
Hey, not sure if you noticed this or not, but our city's population is changing. Thousands of violent felons have been released into our streets, and the time is now to learn how to protect yourself against assault and other life-threatening, forcible crimes. When you choose a firearms instruction company, demand the best NRA-certified instruction in the region. Demand NorCal Firearms Instruction at Sportsman's Warehouse. Professional instructors can make the difference between a positive training experience and, well, one that you're not so sure about. 999-1822 or visit us online at readingccw.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Bark and Wine.
Don't forget brew.
Yes, brew also. Hoping you will join us Saturday, October 4th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center for the 7th Annual Haven Humane Wine and Beer Tasting with sit-down dinner, live and silent auction, and basket drawings.
This event is our premier fundraising event to help the animal population of our area. For tickets and more information, call Haven Humane Society or go on havenhumane.net.
You did that very well.
Well, I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
Yeah.
Going shopping?
Explore the choices.
And shop Reading.
Hello, this is Frank Strazzarino, president of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce. Did you know that when you buy goods and services in Reading, you are supporting a local business, its owner, and employees in these tough economic times, and your tax dollars give us better police and fire protection, maintain our roads, parks, and trail system, and contribute to our Reading quality of life.
Going shopping?
Explore the choices.
And shop Reading.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Lindbaugh. Linda will be back tomorrow. She's on her sabbatical with her 8 girlfriends or 7 girlfriends. Good morning, my friends. 76 degrees, going up to 100 and maybe 109 today. Phone lines here, 605-4567. Please give us a call if you got a question for our guest, Reverend Ann Corinne. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue, across from the subway there. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's last stronghold. Yes! Catch up on all your reading there. Karn? No, don't give me big eyes there, Reverend. No, this none of that stuff. It's like Car and Track and, you know, American Rifleman, and I think there's National Geographic. That's the raciest we get down there. Got to remember. And you won't see Dr. Phil on the TV show. Man's Last Stronghold, Cypress Square Barbershop. Great place to go there. My guest is Reverend Ann Corinne from she's the Reverend at the Pilgrim Congregational Church and is advocating a homeless center, a resource center right here in Reading. The pushback, every one of the candidates, we've had every one of the candidates on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every one of them has pushed back against this. So this is not a good idea. Mike Quinn, who's one of the candidates, if I remember right, he didn't say that. He said that we need to help our fellow man. Mike's very conservative about a lot of other things, but he is also, he has said that, or words to that effect, and he can clarify it next time he's on. But a lot of pushback from city council, you know.
Yeah, it's an election year. That makes it really hard.
So do you think there's just shallow posturing on their part then?
No, I don't think it's shallow posturing. I think that we've really upped the energy for the fear of crime and as you were saying, the statistics don't show so much of a raise, but it's in people's face a lot, and people are, it's a high energy thing, and it's an election year, and you wanna feed into the high energy in a positive way, not in a negative way. So I'm not running for election, so that's a good thing, because I think that the fear is part of what we're working with. Not only fear of the of crime, but fear of it, which then is put on the people who we see are different than us. But it relates to our own fears that we have of our own well-being, our own sense of financial security in town. And you know, it's interesting that there was that poll a while ago that showed Reading as a very low space on people's sense of
on the happiness poll.
I call it the well-being.
Yeah, the well-being poll, right.
I thought it was curious when I was reading through what the actual questions were, and I had a lot of friends who said, "Hey, they didn't call me," you know, which is true.
But you and I kind of read the same thing,
right? What I'm going to say is that the interesting questions asking if you had an incident where you felt disregarded or not honored during the day. And I tell you, Carl, whether we like it or not, when one person or one group of people are not honored by a community, no one feels honored. When one group is not safe, no one feels safe. And that's the kind of anxiousness and fear that is building in our community. And it's counterintuitive to feeling that fear, then blame it on someone else or another group, but it's the way we are as human beings. But it actually exacerbates the feeling of dis-ease. And I think, you know, when you're traveling around and you see some cities that the homeless are apparent, and then you'll go in another city and it's not so apparent, I'll guarantee you that the ones where the homeless are not so apparent on the street are the ones that have resources for the homeless during the day. Because when there is not that, where are the people going to go? And once they have no place to go, then they, as I was saying, they feel disrespected and get an attitude and they don't respect back. I guarantee you can turn that around. I'm not saying it's a panacea, turn it around, but we can change the face of Reading within 6 months of having a well-run, resource center up.
Okay, let me read some comments to you that are coming in here. Mm-hmm. This was tried in Susanville, complete failure. Said they attracted transits from all over. That was at least one of the things. It is that we have already, there are already services in place to do this. A community this size can only do so much, and I believe we do a lot.
Right, I agree. And as I was saying before, yeah, we have the services here, well, but we're not effective.
Who's going to run this thing?
Well, hopefully the community steps forward. You have to have staff.
Yeah.
You have to have staff.
And
it might be one of the agencies that are already running who end up stepping in as the operators.
Where would you put this?
I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. We have been looking location committees, working with the staff at the city, looking at the zoning. We are not interested in going anywhere outside of what we're actually zoned for, because it's not worth. It's not a fight. We don't want to fight at all. But there are zonings that are it's a category that has a specified zoning for it.
Okay. So it's someplace right here in the city.
That zoning is not right here in the city.
Oh, it's not right here in the city? No,
it would
have to be someplace else.
Right. The downtown area has its own zoning.
Right. So it would be on the outskirts.
And then there's the Rescue Mission sits in a zoning area that is actually open to this. It's just a strip that goes down South Market there.
So you're saying is that there's already an I think what I'm hearing you say is this. If there's existing organizations out there, they've got the infrastructure to take care of this. They just need to change or to take over the running of it if they're, you know, a resource center like this.
Well, whether they take over the running of it or as a cooperative sense. And it's more than just creating such a center. It's creating a different way that we work as a community, where we're working cooperatively and collaboratively together rather than in competition for that pie that you mentioned.
There would be no public funds used in this, or is this going to be completely a fundraiser like Good News Rescue Mission or One Safe Place? They don't get tax money to do this.
No, right. It's just
do you envision this would be supported by the taxpayers?
No, I think that it's a community run. You know, we've already had a little bit of jostling on the difference between community and government. You know,
right.
I think of it as a community run organization
and funded,
and that's what we've gotten donations now just from people who want this to happen. I've had phone calls from people who say, "Hey, there's a great building. The homeless are already all sitting outside of it.
They're already there.
But it's not in the zoning thing. But the fact of the matter, Carl, is that the homeless, there's a lot of people who are homeless that are here.
Oh yeah, there are. And Chief Paletti was at a conference where a lot of police chiefs were at, and from all the United States. And they're all facing a lot of the same problems,
right.
Heroin, but homelessness and transients are in there too.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not just limited to Reading.
Right.
So this is something they're all facing. Again, it goes back to organizing something like this. We've already got facilities out there that do this, but all the parts of it. And And again, I look at the funding of it. Is there any liability to the city and the taxpayers?
I don't. Well, why would there be?
I don't know. That's right. What I'm saying. Is right. that the, no, but these are questions
right.
that
sure.
that also have to be brought. Right. You know, that no, this is a private concern. This is a community concern that volunteers or people that are paid to do this are doing. They're organizing it. You've got people coming in. What if you get hundreds a day? Well, then it's a success. But and again, the ones that don't want to get help, is there a way that you're going to just keep them from coming in?
Well, if they don't want to come in and participate, that's their choice. But if they want to come in and take a shower and leave, that's their choice too.
Okay.
And it may be that somebody comes in and uses the hygienic facilities for a month and just leaves, and then the next months they say, you know, now I'm ready, like I said.
Okay, like a lot of times when they're ready. Okay, our guest is the Reverend Ann Corinne. Other comments, and we need to clear this up. If the guest wants to completely fund some place for those folks, that's fine, but don't tax me for it. That was never – that's you're not looking at anything right. that would cause the taxpayers to pay
exactly.
anything into this. So that this is – Ann's made this clear is that no, this is not taxpayer money. This is community funds like we do fund so many others.
Right.
And the idea behind this is that if you see so many homeless out there during the day and they're bothering because they don't have a place to go, if they had a place to go where they could clean up, you know, sit there, get out of the heat, get out of the cold, that they would utilize it. And also you have other facilities there to help them with alcohol, drugs, mm-hmm. The mental health.
Get the veterans connected with the resources that are there for them. They don't even know. There are veterans that have no clue that they have the possibilities there.
Well, we have numerous veterans organizations right. out there hunting for. You know, I mean, they're
exactly.
out there to help.
And we're working with some of those. And that's yeah. what they're saying. That would be helpful to them to have a location where they can find their people. Helpful to the county mental health caseworkers that are out
so
there
could all
searching
round them up
for
in
pieces.
One spot,
they
huh?
can find them. They can say, okay, I'll meet you at the center for our appointment.
Okay.
Instead of I'll meet you under the bridge for our appointment.
All right. Hey, we'll be right back. Carl and DeBott, KCNR 1460.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your ship bare. See how.
Hi, this is Jeff Williams, Commercial Loan Officer at Plumas Bank here in Reading. Plumas Bank is proud to sponsor the Colt 45s this season. Plumas Bank has been serving the financial needs of Northeastern California for 34 years. Our top priority is helping local businesses succeed. We're located at the corner of Cypress and Civic Center Drive, across from City Hall and just down the street from the ball field. Call us today at 246-2364. Experience the Plumas Bank difference. More convenience, more value, more opportunity.
Plumas Bank, member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Aaron.
And this is Bill.
We the People Radio is all about the whole story, all the stuff the mainstream media only covers in sound bites. Every Sunday morning, We the People Radio digs into the politics of public policy, communitarianism, land use, Agenda 21, smart growth, immigration, elections, veterans affairs, education, guns, mining, timber, water, and wolves.
You know, for over 3 years, we've spoken with famous and not so famous people from around the world who understand the principles of limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution.
Well, thanks, Bill. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us for guest information and our extensive archives.
It's all about We the People here at We the People Radio every Sunday morning. From 8 to 10 a.m. here on KCNR 1460 a.m.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff this and every Sunday for a full 2 hours of in-depth discussion with the experts in their field. Things you won't hear in the mainstream media. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
The local headlines say it all. Crime is on the rise in Shasta County. Join Reading Police Chief Rob Paletti and a panel of experts and officials who will discuss crime in our communities and what can be done about it. This will be your chance to ask questions, voice concerns, and take part in this important town hall meeting on the topic of crime. The meeting will be held at Sequoia Middle School Auditorium in Reading, 1805 Sequoia Street at Placer on Wednesday evening. Meeting begins at 6 p.m., but plan to arrive early because seating is limited. This important town hall event will also be broadcast to the community without commercial interruption on KCNR 1460, courtesy of Reading Rancheria. Again, the town hall meeting to address the topic of crime in our community will be held at Sequoia Middle School Wednesday evening beginning at 6, broadcast live on KCNR 1460, brought to the community by Reading Rancheria.
Big League Greens is proud to support the Reading Colt 45s, and they're grateful for the support the community has shown them over the last 10 years. Come and join Big League Greens for a week-long celebration as they say thank you for their first 10 years, July 28th through August 3rd. They're looking forward to you joining them for the next 10. New leagues are forming now for softball, indoor soccer, inline hockey, volleyball, and baseball. For more information, call 223-1177, extension 105, or check them out online at bigleaguedreams.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free... darn, I was just off. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on our last segment here. KCNR 1460. It's 8:50 in the morning. This portion is brought to you by Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. It's a firearms dealer of choice here. He has ammo and guns of all kinds at very fair, reasonable prices. Gunsmithing is just outstanding. And he, John Bastiani, has helped people that have been victims of assaults and offering them free concealed carry classes and also pistols to be able to protect themselves when they're out walking at night when they get attacked by thugs. Give him a call at 222-8222. And again, 2539 Larkspur, Bastiani Arms. All right. Our guest is Reverend Ann Corn, who's the head of the Reverend up at Pilgrim Congregational Church and is advocating a resource center for the homeless here in Reading, that puts all the, puts all of the organizations kind of under one roof, or at least provides a spot that the mental health care, veterans organizations, everything, drug and alcohol, anger management, I guess everything would be, could come in there and have kind of
satellite offices
right there. Let's go to the phones. Billy Bob, good morning.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, just a quick suggestion, as long as we're throwing ideas around. And this is not to belittle your earnest effort to do something in this regard, but as big cities, San Francisco spends over $5 million a year in their homeless problem. Bigger cities do that. But the thing is that what we need to do is you just can't have a day center. You got to have them all in one location. So my suggestion is that you create Bumville. And you got your bum police, and you got your bum city council, and you got everybody in one spot. They can be resourced, as you say, cleaned up, but they have a place to throw a tent. You can't just let them wander back underneath the bridges at night. So it's going to have to be Bumville, and then the way you finance it is you sell bum babies to the local people, and they sponsor each one of these. And they can have their little bum baby sitting on the mantle or in their dining room or something, and they sponsor per month to help defray the cost of. And then, of course, once they're autonomous, then all of a sudden they get responsible. And so you got, you know, they police themselves. They're all quarantined. They're all in one spot. Everybody can keep an eye on them. It's just an idea. Thank you.
Billy Bob, I don't know what... I want a bottle of what that is, what you're drinking there. But what a great idea, bum babies. You know, it's kind of like the what they used to call those bean babies, or what was that? The you know, where you would buy these little.
Yeah.
You sell bum babies to raise money. Are you volunteering Palisadro out there or something to put it, to put Bumville in? No. Okay. Back to seriousness here. They're talking about the other idea is somebody said let's make a village of small buildings that we can put homeless people in. I see all types of problems with that. I see problems, but I'm also seeing what you're saying, and your idea is to have a place, and one of the questions was not completely non-sectarian, so there's, so that if a Christian would give money to give because it's the right thing to do, knowing that God's not going to be mentioned in there anywhere.
Right.
Okay. Now, because that will, you're saying that will turn some people off.
Well, it's not that God wouldn't be mentioned. I mean, there's lots of conversations that would be going on anywhere, but it's would not be a an identifying factor of the center. Another thing what was this guy's Bob?
Billy Bob. It comes in some great ideas, but also with humor too.
Yeah,
so,
that's great. And you know, the reality is that there's a lot of different ways that people are on the streets during the day, and one of them is actually that they are people that are using the resources of the rescue mission, and the rescue mission is an emergency shelter that does have programs, but the number of people that are available that they can serve for the emergency shelter are far greater than the number of people that are in their programs, and the nature of the emergency shelter is that they cannot have a day programs. So, ironically, their success puts more people on the streets during the day. So, really, if people are supporting the rescue mission, and I know that not everyone does, but this could be seen as a hand in glove kind of piece for that day component. And I don't know who makes the zoning laws, but the classification of a day resource center specifically says that we cannot have overnight. And the classification of a emergency shelter specifically says that they cannot have the daytime component. That's kind of a crazy thing as far as Billy Bob is saying, putting everybody together in one place. But there must be good reason for that.
He was talking about just a large place.
Right, I know that. I know that.
Would you support part of the program there if you're identifying them as people that want to go home, like the chief was talking about, is identifying them and getting them tickets out of here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And some of them have to have the chance to kind of wake up and say, oh, you know, I want to go home. And they have that possibility. They come in and they start talking to people and we find that out. We don't even know who the homeless are right now.
We only have so many resources,
yeah. Absolutely. I'm trying to consolidate what we have. I'm not trying to create something new. And in doing that, not only taking care of that problem, but trying to change an attitude that I've encountered here in Reading. I've been here for 6 years. I've been a high profile community person in every city that I've been a pastor in. And the level of, I would just say competition, because I don't know a better way to say it, a competition for everything at every level, where people were not working as a community. We're working for our own successes and our own glorification and our own pieces of the pie. We've got to change that if we want to be a healthy, solid community. And if we're going to revive ourselves, if you're revolting to revive or whatever you're doing, if we're going to be a new city, we have to change that attitude. This is one piece of inviting people to move into a different way to be a community.
Well, other people say you're inviting people to come here.
Yeah, but I'm not. I just don't buy that argument.
So you don't buy the argument that the more things that are handed out, the more assets that are handed out, bicycles, free food, free housing, free everything, and medical care and all that, you don't think that brings people
here? I'm not handing out any of those things. I'm giving people a place
people
to be.
But there are people here, right. But that concept, though.
I think that our community has people who are very wealthy, and our community has people that are very poor. But we're one community, and we all do well when we honor and respect each other. And people may say, may think I'm a total wacko, but I say when we start honoring...
I don't think you're a total wacko at all.
When we honor those that are in need, that are here, that are part of our community, and they, and many of them are, then the people at the top, the business people, will start to feel honored too.
Okay. And our guest has been the Reverend Ann Corin, who is the Reverend out at Pilgrim Congregational Church, and is advocating a resource center, a day resource center for the homeless, saying it's a place that you can put satellite offices for everything that is the people come in there to get out of the – so that people you see on the streets all the time where they can't go to the Good News Rescue Mission during the day, but they can go there at night. You can they would have a place to go during the day, and this would keep a lot of them off the streets if it's located in the right spot, essentially. Last thoughts? You got like 30 seconds.
I just want to thank you for having me here, Carl. I was really pleased to get the phone call from you inviting me.
Well,
to
I meant to ask you earlier, and it kind of ties in with everything everybody's talking about, but this is not the last time. There's points that you brought up that need to be discussed even more.
Right.
And have a great vacation.
Thank
I know
you.
You're leaving tomorrow. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks.
Remember, it's the good guys against the bad. Oh, Sequoia Middle School tonight at 6 o'clock. Be there.
But I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A UN school is among the latest targets of the ongoing war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza.
More than 3,000 displaced Palestinians were taking shelter in the Jabalia Elementary Girls' School run by the United Nations. At about 5 o'clock in the morning, one corner of the school compound was hit by several shells.
The BBC's Chris Morris in Gaza, Israel, tells a British broadcaster it's investigating.
We have had extensive fighting in that area. We've had mortars that were fired from right near the school, and indeed there was an exchange of fire. We are currently looking into the tragic result.
Israeli military spokesman Peter Lerner, no comment from the Israeli military on reports that 15 people have been killed, more than 150 wounded by an Israeli airstrike in a crowded shopping area. Fierce fighting between Ukrainian troops and pro-Russian rebels continues to keep international investigators